to take advantage of it. And they've certainly done so. They're hitting better. The pitching has been fantastic. It was a good conversation with Jerry DePoto yesterday about where his team is at. And then, you know, trying to figure out what direction they want to go from here. I was listening to John Morosi yesterday with Wyman and Bob as I was driving. And he was saying, look, maybe Jerry decides to add. Right. It was last year that the Braves, right after the All-Star break, decided to go out and get Jock Peterson. And it was a message to the whole team of, hey, we believe in you. Go after it. And it worked. Right. And Jock Peterson ended up playing a really big role, not just on the field, but emotionally for that team with the pearls and just sort of his personality. It really seemed to bring a lot out of a Braves team that won the World Series last year after just being a wild card group. So, they're not out of it. They're 4.5 games back of the third wild card. They're playing some better baseball, and good times should be ahead. Kyle Lewis heading down for a rehab assignment soon. Mitch Haniger, hopefully sometime after the All-Star break. Ty France, maybe the timeline is similar for him. You get through these suspensions, and maybe at that point you can start to put together the group that you thought you were going to have at the beginning of the year. Because you see it. When it looks like yesterday, you're like, oh, yeah. That's the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to play the A's that many times.
No, but at least, you know, you start to see your lineup come alive, right? Yeah, and like, true. Oh, yeah, that's what Raleigh's capable of.
Bottom of the order definitely coming alive in the last 3 days.
Yeah, and in the middle of it all is Julio just doing everything you could ever ask of him. He's just been, you know, phenomenal here over the last couple of weeks. He's been incredible. And another thing from John Morosi yesterday, he mentioned that Julio should be an all-star. He might not be based on the numbers and his voting, et cetera, but this is a pretty good argument in favor of it.
I think the way Julio Rodriguez has played, I want to see him in that game. I think he probably, if you gave me a blank piece of paper and told me to write down the 10 people I most want to see in the all-star game, Rodriguez is on that list. He does. I just, the way he plays, the way he impacts the game, his personality, everything about it. He's an electrifying player. Electrifying. Now that the All-Star game doesn't determine home field advantage in the World Series anymore, now it should be a showcase of the best players in the game. And part of that parenthetical should be the next generation of stars.
And he's talking obviously about Julio Rodriguez in that group, and he's right. Can I have a brief aside? Can I have a moment here?
We'll allow it on a Friday.
What is the deal with the word electrified? It's like all of the sudden it's everywhere. Electric cars are now electrified cars. And Julio Rodriguez isn't electric. He's electrifying. Like, why is everything electrified?
I mean, I would say it began with Grease.
That was a while ago.
I would say it just started.
Grease lightning?
It's electrifying.
For some reason. That's a great, great callback.
I don't think it just came around.
No, but it's been like hot and heavy here for the, like, all of the sudden cars are like Toyota and Kia and all. It's not like they don't just have e-cars or electric cars or hybrids. They're electrified.
Yeah,
they're electrifying your cars. Doesn't that mean you're blowing up your cars?
Need those buzzwords.
I don't know. It feels like a misuse of a word. Anyway.
Okay, your moment's over.
Thank you. It was, I don't know, it's just something that I've been hearing.
Don't make
it's
us
been
call
bothering
Dr.
me.
Rick.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Is that a Dr. Rick type of thing, could getting be. Mad about people using words in the wrong way?
That's yeah. a very dad comment to make.
Is it?
It seems like it.
I don't think so. My dad would never, well, maybe he would. So anyway, Julio electric, electrifying, electrified, whatever word you want to use. He's been all of that and more. And you can see just the energy that it seems to give the whole team, which has just been awesome. As for Kelnick, a lot of response from you guys to the interview here, which I did. We played it at 7:30. If you missed it, I think it's worth your time. It's not the best interview I've ever done. I will tell you, it was a hard interview to do. Just being honest with you guys. It was a hard interview to do.
Well, you're already out of your element, but that's not what you mean by that, right?
Well, it's hard for me personally because, yes, you're right. I like to be in my studio with my notes and kind of looking at everything, but...
Because you knew the position he's in, and you're kind of
hard spot, right? Yeah. Like, you'd like to be able to sort of, you know, butter him up with some nicer questions and, hey, how's it going? And this is cool. He's in a tough spot. His life's not where he wants it to be right now. He's in AAA when he wants to be in the majors. What are you going to say? Hey, how was your good game against Sacramento? And, you know, how's riding the buses? I mean, I found that to be a little challenging, and it took me sort of away from some of what I feel like I'm better at. And so I got a texter here and I understand where he's coming from, who said, hey, you asked him a lot of mean questions and he was nice enough to answer them. I understand why you feel that way. I don't think that's what I was doing, and I don't think that's what I was trying to do. And if it came off that way, I would apologize both to you and to Jared, because I, as I said, I really like him and I believe in him quite a bit. I was worried it was going to come off that way also, because, you know, you're asking him questions about how his life and his game aren't going the way he wants it to.
He knew
that's why I was there.
Right.
I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought he answered the questions really well. I thought he was very honest, very forthright. He clearly doesn't want to talk about, nor did Jerry, about what it is he's got to do to get back to the big leagues. He talked about process, and that's fine. It's kind of a blow off, and I'm okay with that. He doesn't have to give me that information any more than Jerry does. But I thought his explanation of emotion and trying to control that, and all, I thought that was really interesting and a good look into what's going on with Jared Kelnick, and then getting into how many voices are in his head, how many voices are in his ear. He kind of went back and forth. I think he meant ear.
I did too.
And I think that was an important and interesting part of it, and how he's kind of clearing that and almost acting as his own coach right now.
I thought the whole thing boiled down to his explanation of the pitcher getting the call and then, you know, gripping the bat too tight, admitting that. That's what it was like. That's the problem. He just said it.
There's a very good question here. And I you know what? I said to Maura earlier that I was kind of mad at myself yesterday after this interview. And I drove back the 4 hours from Tacoma just sort of cursing and banging the steering wheel because I was mad at myself. Because I felt like I could have done a better job with the interview. But actually, in listening to it, I felt a little bit better. I feel like it was actually a pretty good interview. But there's a good texter here who said, the question I would have liked to have asked is he having fun? And that's a great question, and I wish I'd asked it. It's a really, you're absolutely right. At the heart of it all I can tell you is this. Being around him and watching him with his teammates, it looks like he's having fun.
Good.
It looked like he was having a good time. He was smiling. He was loose. He's got the sleeveless, cut-off, electric factory t-shirt going on. He was practicing some pitching. Right. He had a little windup going while he was playing catch. And then I think he actually went out to the bullpen to throw a bullpen. Like, he's just having fun. It's a good, loose atmosphere down there. So I got the sense that he is having fun. I'm sorry I didn't ask. I probably should have. But when I give you the context there, maybe that helps kind of, you know, paint a picture of what it looked like. He didn't look mad. What did I read after the game last night? He went around the ballpark looking for Dippin' Dots. Like, he seems like he's in a pretty good place down there, and hopefully he'll be able to bring that back to the big leagues. So, Jared Kelnick, if you missed it, you can go find that wherever you get your podcast, or you can find it at seattlesports.com. G. Scott's coming in 20 minutes. We'll go through everything you need to know next. Mike Salk Show here on Seattle Sports.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the bats certainly got going last night for the Mariners, and when they do, this team can really roll because they pitch pretty well. They scored early and often, won it 8-6 yesterday. Usually it's hard to find any kind of highlight that's going to be better than a Julio Rodriguez blast, but you know what? I would say Cal Raleigh managed to provide one.
The set and the 1-2 pitch, the Raleigh swing, and a fly ball deep center field. Bolt going back. Morty tracked to the wall off his glove. Two runs are going to score. Santana scores. He's waving in Toro. Toro will score. Cal at third. The throw to third hits him in the back. He's headed home. He's going to score. Holy smokes, everybody scores. Cal Raleigh with a mad dash around the bases.
Yeah, Little League home run for Cal Raleigh. First triple of the year. Do you think that's the first triple of his life?
That's a good question.
He slid into third like he'd never been there before.
Did you hear his interview postgame?
No.
I'm a catcher. Of course I'm fast.
He also, I think I saw Lydia pointed out on Twitter, when he got on home plate, he tapped it with his hand, like, just to be safe.
Like, oh, God. They're like, he's starting to see stars or something, like when you've run too far or something like that. Anyway, went 2-for-4 last night with a couple driven in, completed a really great month for Cal. Hit 6 home runs, 8 more extra base hits, an OPS of .925. Pretty darn good production, especially from a young catcher. As for Julio, he still did his thing last night. Don't worry about him.
The 1-0. Swing, and it's clubbed out to center. This is on its way back to the batter's eye. Gone! Julio! Home run! Straight away center field, mashed. He has has given the Mariners a 2-1 lead.
13th of the year for Julio. Dylan Moore hit his fourth while playing shortstop yesterday. J.P. Crawford elected to start his suspension after it was reduced down to 4 games. Ty France, one step closer to the All-Star game. He made the runoff against Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at first base. So we'll see how that goes. Mariners will get back at it against Oakland tonight. Marco Gonzalez and James Caprillion in that one.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Absolute mess. Natural disaster. You heard Brock compare it to an earthquake earlier. For the remaining 10 schools in the Pac-12, USC and UCLA have agreed to abandon ship. And they're heading to the Big Ten, which now has, what, 16 schools? It's a little confusing if you're trying to keep track. LA, not only the big market in the conference, but USC was by far the biggest, maybe the only real national draw. So without those two schools, what's the path forward for the remaining Pac-12? It's hard to see how one would be viable. If you're UW, you're probably trying to get out. You're probably trying to beg to be let in to the Big Ten and see if somebody will take you, because what's left isn't going to be good enough. And certainly, if you tried to form something with the remaining schools who got ditched by Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12, I don't know whether that has enough star power either. So, yeah, it's an ugly situation. And for Wazoo, I don't know what you do. It seems like more likely that you're going to be now part of a conference that is not considered to be a lead or power. I'm not sure what that looks like, but it may be a real bummer for fans who've given a lot to their teams over the years.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Sounds like the Deshaun Watson hearing is coming to an end. Did yesterday after 3 days of testimony. Former Judge Sue Robinson will now consider that case and make a recommendation. Could take some time for that. And of course, either side can appeal her ruling, but if they do, it just goes to Roger Goodell to decide. It's so ridiculous. I can't believe that's the system that they worked out. God, the NFL Players Association does a bad job. Goodell will be in the sole position of deciding justice, and so, yeah, you call the whole thing a complete sham. It's everything you need to know, and we do that quarter past every hour here on the Mike Salk Show. Yeah, can you imagine? So we both get to appeal, but if we appeal, I decide.
It still comes to me.
Yeah. So
now, you go ahead and make your move. I'm just going to wait.
It would be like, all right, so you have a prosecuting attorney and you have a defense attorney. And at the end of it, the jury makes a decision. And then when you appeal, the prosecuting attorney gets to decide.
Exactly.
It is so thoroughly ridiculous that that's the process.
This is what the NFLPA bargained for them.
Of course it is. I know. It's so ridiculous.
Not that I think Deshaun Watson should get out of anything. But yeah, Roger Goodell is the judge, jury, and executioner at the end of the day, no matter what they try to say about him,
yes.
Other people making decisions.
It really is just sort of absurd. Another texter here says, Saul, good interview, but why'd you have to bring up the Julio thing? It was about Kelnick. Are you trying to start some sort of beef between them? No, I thought about taking the question. I thought about not asking him, and then I thought about taking the question out. Mm-hmm. Here's why I left it in, and here's why I think it's important. I'm not trying to set up any sort of a fight or rivalry between them. The opposite of that.
Yeah, if anybody's listened to you over time, you are a huge Kelnick supporter.
I'm a huge fan of both of them, and I'm not trying to pit one against the other. And I understand if you heard it that way. But I think if you listen carefully to the question, that's not what I'm asking. What I'm trying to say is, how hard is that for you? A guy who you are friends with, who you've always been a step ahead of, not in terms of being better than him, just being older than him by a year and a year ahead of him in terms of your development, how hard is it to see him succeed immediately when you struggled immediately? Does it make you doubt yourself? And I think it's a very real concern for Jared Kelnick. He played it perfectly. I loved his answer. And again, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, I hope you go listen to the podcast and listen to his comments. I thought he gave a great answer. No, I don't feel that way because that's my friend and I love him. It's a great answer. I'm not trying to say like, oh, you guys don't like each other, any of that. But look, man, I grew up, I had a friend growing up. His name is Dave. Dave had a perfect 1600s on his SATs. He was a really good athlete. He did very well with women. He was the captain of the football team, the lacrosse team, and the basketball team. Dave was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to be friends with him at times. He was a great friend, and I love the man. But there were times where it was a challenge to be friends with him because you're like, hey, man, I just want to work on the math homework. What do you mean you're done?
Right.
Oh, you got to be the captain of this team, too? Oh, and you got the girl? Like, there were challenges. And I can understand. Imagine if you are, you know, essentially Dave, and then all of a sudden somebody else is ahead of you, who you were always ahead of. Those things are hard. There's a real emotion. These are real people, right? Remember, we were talking about that yesterday with Jesse Winker. Like, well, is he wacky or is he kind of a fighter? Well, he can be both, because people are real and they're complex and they have more than just one thing that's a part of them. So I'm not trying to go after Jared Kelnick. Really, the opposite of that is true. I think he's a really phenomenal talent and an interesting kid. And I'm looking forward to the future. All right, what do I need to do?
G's already in here.
I need to give the people.
I told him you were running late to break, so he's saying he's giving you the watch. You're cutting into his time.
But I'm doing that on purpose. I'm trying to see if we can go a little late. I got to give the people what they want.
Yeah, give the people what they want.
We'll do it next.
You're listening to the Mike Salk Show,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports Station.
Oh, yeah.
I'm already tired.
Oh, yeah.
The segment hasn't even started and I'm tired. It's driven by Wastecar Ford. I don't know whether they even want to be a part of this.
You got to give the people what they want.
The people haven't gotten what they wanted in over a month because you never show up for work.
Like Boss Lady. First of all, I got to take you guys. I know you're driving. I know you're at home. First of all, thank you guys for listening to Mike Salk every single day. I know it's hard on you.
Today's the Michael Salk Show, by the way. It's the Michael Jeffrey Salk Show. We're being formal today.
You know, one thing.
Galen.
When you say Michael Salk,
yes.
It's electrifying. You know what I mean? It is electrifying. Everything is electrifying. Anyways.
Yes. Okay. Galen,
I want to pull people behind the scenes and let them know that our boss is here.
Yes.
And right now,
our boss's boss.
This is the top level boss. This is Boss Lady. Now, if you hear Mike Salk on his best behavior, this is why. So don't say, hey, Salk's not. He's why? Because he's going to be showing out in front
Hold
of
on.
Boss Lady.
Can I just be on? Can we be real with each other? The one thing that she knows about me is that I will not be on my best behavior because she's around. If anything, it's a decent chance that that goes the other direction. So anyway.
You want to talk about who somebody did to get invited to the party?
I got lots of things to talk to you about. I want to talk to you, Dub, with you, obviously, in the Pac-12 and what just happened. Yeah. Before we get there, we hit on it very briefly yesterday. Yeah. I'm noticing, as you're standing here, people are watching on the stream at SeattleSports.com. Put that left hand up in the air. Don't blind people. Yeah. Dude, you might have to put that back down. It's too bright. G's wearing his brand new wedding ring.
Yes, sir.
Because he got married kind of in secret over the weekend.
I mean, it wasn't in secret.
It was kind of in secret. I mean, you've only been engaged for 3 years, so finally you decided to go get married.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, it is nice. Beautiful wife.
Congratulations.
Appreciate that. And it feels good. Married. You know what they say? Oh, I'm an honest man. You know what I mean? Married. We went down to Destin, Florida, got it done, and this is the last time I'm doing this.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm not doing this again.
No. Let's make this one count.
Yeah, we're going to make it count.
Okay, make this one last.
Hey, but
what's the longest you've ever been married?
7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this marriage is going to be electrifying.
Am I crazy or is that word everywhere all of a sudden? Toyota's got electrified cars and Kia's got electrified cars. Everything's electrified. It's ridiculous. All right, G, what the heck happened yesterday? Because it sure felt to me, I was saying it earlier, not only did the other 10 schools in the conference, not only did they get ditched, they didn't even know they were going to get ditched.
Right.
They didn't even know the party was going on. And now, these poor guys, they got a call like, hey, if I bring beer, can I come to the party?
Oh, man.
My mom will buy a keg, but just please let me come to the party.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that sort of where they're at?
It is. It is where they're at. And, you know, I keep seeing often the haves and the have-nots. And I want to say, what is that? What is the haves and the have-nots? Well, it's simple. There are those right now that are playing college football in the year of 2022. And there are those that are playing college football in the year of 5+ years ago. And this is what that means. They talk about all of the money that is centered here in the state of Washington. You got Boeing, you got Microsoft, you have all of these companies. I don't have to go through it. I don't want to bore you to death.
Amazon, Starbucks, Costco. Yeah.
You got all of the money. The problem is all of that money isn't tied up into football. The problem is the caring for football.
Passion.
Is it the passion for football isn't here like it is other places. And I actually don't fault the people. I fault the Larry Scotts of the world. I fault the Pac-12 for making you have to put in a password and secret codes to find out to watch UW football games. I fault the Pac-12 for having you have to watch football at 7 o'clock at night when if you're a little kid, your bedtime is getting ready to be at 8, 8:30. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's true, but hold on. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I've done this in the past.
What are you doing?
I think Larry Scott is the absolute worst abomination of a person who's been in charge of anything, maybe ever. But
who's the Pac-12 commissioner right now?
I forget the guy's name. Severikis or something? I forget the guy's name. George Klevakis.
Yeah. Larry Scott did such a bad job that people still think Larry Scott is the commissioner. But go ahead.
But I'll defend him for a moment. For a moment.
Okay.
For only a moment.
Okay.
And then I'll deny that I ever did it.
Come.
If you did all of the things you just mentioned, make people put in a password, make people watch late at night, make people do this, that, and the other. If you did all of those things in the SEC, they'd be mad about it, but they'd do it, and it wouldn't affect their viewership one bit. And if there was money to be made off of it, the conference would be able to do it because people are that passionate about it. I believe that Larry Scott's biggest failing is not that he forced all of those things to happen. It's that he misread the room and the audience so badly that he thought the passion in the Pac-12 would be equal to what it is in the SEC or in the Big Ten.
I like what you said. 50% of it. Yes, you're absolutely right. Larry Scott misread the room and thought that people would go and search high and dry for UW or Pac-12 football.
They're not going to do.
But on the other hand, when you start talking about the SEC, they can afford to do that. And it's already ingrained in them.
Right.
Right. Their grandparents went to this school or their grandparents. This has been a tradition. Now, when you want to start talking about tradition, yes, UW was phenomenal at football in the 90s. No, I'm not taking that away from them. But we're not talking about the 90s with some of these history and traditions of these schools. We're talking about hundreds of years. You know what I mean? We're talking about a real foundation over there. So now here we are today, and you take away the flagship of the Pac-12. You take away USC. You take away UCLA. Both traditions, history of programs, and you remove them to the Pac-12. What does this mean? This means disaster for the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Let's period point blank. This means disaster.
Yeah.
What can be done? Well, you might be able to link up, talk to the Big 12.
It's not good enough. That's a weak conference.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a dregs who are left. That's a leftovers conference.
Or there might be an opportunity. Maybe the Big Ten will allow you to be in. But here's my question, and this is the discussion that I had with a few folks last night. We're going back and forth. Would that be a good idea for the University of Washington to jump in the Big Ten? Right? Like, recruiting is already tough for the University of Washington right now, and that's just competing against the Pac-12.
But they're not just competing against the Pac-12, as you, as well as anybody, know. You know they're not just competing against the Pac-12. They're already competing against the Big Ten. Where's your kid go to school?
They're competing. Well, here's
stop. Where's your kid go to school?
He goes to school out there.
That's right, because they're not just competing against the Pac-12.
But the majority of people that are having these discussions, I listen or I see it on social media, and I just say to myself, self, you guys are so outdated in how you're discussing this. Like, people are not talking about what's really happening in college football. And here's what's happening. The haves, these kids are making money. Period.
How much money?
Look at my son's social media. He bought house yesterday, flipped the house. They're buying houses with NIL money. He's on a cover of Champs, doing Champs commercials, right? How can you compete?
And I say this with respect. He's not played a lot.
100%.
I'm not saying that in any way to disrespect Baby G, who I love.
So what do you think the quarterback is making? What do you think?
If Baby G is flipping houses, what is, what's the kid's name, Stroud?
C.J. Stroud.
What's C.J. Stroud doing?
What's Bryce Young doing?
He's flipping skyscrapers.
You know what I mean? Well, you could do whatever you choose with your money.
Right.
But what I'm saying is these recruits, these top 10 recruits, these quarterbacks, and so you're hearing about the recruit that just signed to Miami that's going to get a $6 million deal.
Is UW doing this?
No! Absolutely not!
Is anyone in the Pac-12 doing
this? No!
Oh, USC.
Or Oregon and USC. Yeah. Oregon is doing it.
What's UCLA doing? They're just kind of along for the ride here?
UCLA just riding with them four letters. It's UCLA.
Just along for the
you
ride.
Know what I mean? Jackie Robinson played for us. We got a long history.
They got the Rose Bowl.
They got, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's UCLA. So yeah. No matter what, their tradition alone.
Right.
But again, this is what I'm saying. And so the question will be going forward, and this will be the discussion. How will the University of Washington respond?
Do they want to pay?
Do you want to pay? Or if you're saying, or you're listening to me talking right now, you're like, gee, that's absurd. We don't want to get into that. Okay.
That's fine.
There is a conference for you.
Right.
There is football for you still. Right. Like, you know, I'm not saying which school should do what. I'm just telling you what's happening.
Yeah, which world do you want to be a part of? Which version of college football do you want to play in?
I'm telling you that the greatest setting or this beautiful view does not work for families anymore.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that, oh my goodness, let me tell you about this education does not work for families anymore. I'm going to tell you what does work. Mom, dad, here we go. You're an offensive lineman. You're a four-star. Look at the calculations in the formula. That's going to be about $75,000. You want your school doing that? You don't have to. You can say yes.
Right.
You can say no.
Or you can say no. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, you know what may have been, people are going to talk about the money. People are going to talk about NIL, et cetera. And all of those things have obviously played an enormous role in all of this. Mm-hmm. I have a kind of a weird theory that another invention that has played a significant, though not as significant as those other things, role in this whole change is FaceTime. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but I'll tell you why I feel that way. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first started doing this with Brock, you know, 12, 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody who went to college 3,000 miles away from where I was born, I could never understand why more people didn't do that. And Brock was like, why doesn't everybody just go to Arizona? Why doesn't Arizona State have the best team in the league? Mm-hmm. It's Arizona State. It's beautiful. It's hot. The weather's great, et cetera. All the things you could have for perks down there. Why aren't they the best? And Brock's like, well, most people like to stay close to home and family and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be close to home anymore with FaceTime.
No, you don't.
Literally, the difference between, my mom says this all the time, I'll quote her, the difference between closeness and proximity is huge. Being close to your kids, close to your family, close to your parents, you used to have to actually be in close proximity to them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
You talk on FaceTime, it's like you're right there.
Yeah.
And so it is, I think, opened things up for kids like your own to say, yeah, no, Dad, I'm going to go to Ohio State. Right. The money's going to help. The caliber of play is going to help. And I'm not really that far away because I'll just jump on the FaceTime with you.
Let's be clear.
How often do you FaceTime with your kid?
I don't like FaceTime.
Thanks a lot.
But I want to talk about something because I want to talk about something that could have happened and it should have happened.
Okay.
Right. I want to go back to about 3-4 years ago when all the recruiting process was happening, what was going on. What should have happened here in this state? All of the top recruits should have been right here at the University of Washington, period, point blank. Sure. You're right about that with FaceTime and you're able to talk to your kid. They can go across the country. But my opinion is this. I believe that there is nothing better than a young man or a young lady to be able to stay at home and play for their university and play for their school.
Yeah.
That's the point. But that's not how it worked out. And, of course, a lot of people will blame the recruiting that's going on Jimmy Lake, which it is not on Jimmy Lake. Okay? Yeah. And here we are today. And the recruiting is not going well. And we're just going forward.
Why don't you like FaceTime? Pick your nose or something? Like, what's the deal? Why don't you like FaceTime?
Because I spend the majority of my time looking at myself. Don't you? You know, you be on FaceTime.
It's a narcissism thing.
I think it's a normal thing, right? Like, more.
Depends who you're talking to.
You be on FaceTime and you're talking to somebody.
I know what you mean. It's kind of distracting because you're trying to look at them, but then you can see how you look in the corner.
You know, you're like, oh, wait a
minute. You guys are so vapid. I know I'm ugly. I don't need to look at myself.
They're wait, hold on. Let me change the angle. My chin is showing.
Yeah, or it's just like, ooh, that lighting's it's awful. Like,
I forgot. There's a gray hair right there in my nose. It's just all kinds of things that happen in that situation.
I don't have any of those problems. Hey, I saw you the other day. You're still out there trying to wave the flag for Geno Smith. You still think Geno's starting game one?
I never said that Geno's starting.
Oh, sorry. It's Drew or Geno.
I believe that Drew Lock will be the starter.
Okay.
Week one.
Okay.
But wait, do you and anybody of your friends that come on the show still believe Baker Mayfield is going to be the quarterback here in Seattle?
Yes.
I mean, he's not. And he's not because I wouldn't understand why he would. First of all, it's July. You would bring Baker in right now, and let's just say you did. That means you'd have to give him all of the reps to get him prepared because he essentially would be the starter. Which, meanwhile, you have something in Drew Block, possibly in Geno Smith. You don't even find out if you do or you don't. You don't give them an opportunity for preseason other than towards the end, and you essentially give them a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you basically say to Drew Lock, which, in my opinion, has happened to Drew Lock since he's been a pro, we don't really believe in you.
Then why did Drew Lock not get first-team reps at all, even split reps, during minicamp?
You mean on air? You mean controlled practices? Like, those practices are scripted,
right?
On air.
So why weren't they scripted for him to get half of the first team reps?
The media's here. Take a look. Stop it. That does not count. Those practices don't count. It's something like, I always see the reports like, oh my goodness, you should see Geno Smith drop back and throw it to Tyler Lockett. Yeah, who was rushing him? Nobody.
That's not the point I'm making. They're taking that totally out of context.
It's for show, Salk.
Well, then why are they showing me
show?
Drew Lock as the backup quarterback?
The idea is for them to show themselves, not you. What is the idea? It's football.
They're showing Drew Lock that he is the backup quarterback. You can say it however you want. At the end of the day, I watched the practice. Geno Smith was the starting quarterback, and Drew Lock was the backup quarterback.
Okay.
I know what that looks like. That's what we saw.
Hmm.
It seems odd.
In 2012,
yeah,
Matt Flynn was taking the one reps,
right,
and Russell Wilson was taking the number
two. But that was a little different situation. Russell Wilson had come in and obviously was a rookie and was starting to blow people away and
Geno knows the offense.
Earning more and more. Mm-hmm. This is a different situation than that. Drew Lock's not a rookie. He's a kid who you just said needs a level of confidence instilled in him.
But real quick, just in case, I don't want to be disrespectful towards Geno Smith. I'm just saying my opinion is that Drew Lock is the starter week one. That is not a slight at Geno Smith. This is only me going off the track record in the history of the Seahawks. This is why when I go over track record in history, this is why it makes no sense for them to bring in Baker Mayfield. When you see the way that the Seahawks are responding, you saw how they went bowling together recently. You can tell there is this new energy. Well, there has to be this new energy so we can get back to how things used to be, where people, these messages by Pete Carroll can be listened to and understood again. Bringing in somebody like that to make an automatic weirdness and oddness does not make sense.
Man. Nor, though, does Pete Carroll deciding that in a year as important as this one, after coming off a losing season, a guy who wants to compete every day, that if there are higher caliber quarterbacks out there, that he wouldn't go out and try to get
but
one of them.
But he did this exact, go back to history, go
with
back
Tavares.
To what, yes.
But who else?
Right after 2010, Tavares Jackson, may he rest in peace. T-Jack was that guy. He was the veteran that went through 2011 with that season.
Right.
And then you go in the draft.
But they didn't have other options,
someone.
Really. I mean, there weren't a ton of other options.
What are the other options right now?
You just
Salk.
Said Baker Mayfield, maybe Jimmy
not.
Garoppolo.
No, why? Why bring in Baker? You bring
I
him in.
I just told you why.
He's not the guy. Jimmy G is not the guy either. They're not the guy. These are not the players that they look for long term.
I didn't say they were looking for them long term.
And there's an opportunity maybe to go get someone in a draft, or is an opportunity for one of these quarterbacks
to be good. Doesn't strike me as a stopgap kind of a guy at this phase in his career. You bring up what happened with Tavares Jackson. It's a fair point that I'll certainly grant you. But at the same time, Pete was a decade younger then and not where he is right now. Pete Carroll doesn't have forever left in football.
Yes,
I'm not saying he's about to retire or anything like that.
Yes, he
but he doesn't have forever. Nobody does. Mm-hmm. And if I'm him, I want to win. And if I want to look around and figure out who gives me the best chance to win, that quarterback's not on the roster.
So you
right
don't.
Now.
So is there anything that Pete and the Seahawks have done that makes you think that they don't want to win?
Well, the fact that their quarterback room is filled with two guys that I don't think are in the top 32 in the NFL. I don't think either player on their roster right now is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL. It's not a shot. I don't think they're 100th, but I think they're in the 35 to 40 range in terms of quarterbacks in the NFL. There are two guys potentially available in Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield who are in the middle of the pack. Neither of them are top 10 quarterbacks,
so,
but they're starting NFL quarterbacks.
So you say either of them. So you don't think that those two quarterbacks are in the top 10, do you?
No.
No, you don't.
I didn't.
Are they in the top 15?
They might be. They're probably in the, and I haven't kind of gone through it, mm-hmm. but where are they? They're in the 13 to 22 range.
So you would essentially
bring. Does that make sense? The middle third.
So, okay, fair. You would bring them in, mm-hmm. and then now you're going to be on the hook for that salary or on the hook to keep these guys another year or so.
You don't have to be. Both guys are at the end of their contracts. Neither one of them is going to have a tremendous amount of options. I'm not committing to either of those guys long term. And, oh, by the way, the year that they brought in Russ, they had already committed to Matt Flynn. Not a huge amount of money, but you're not going to commit a huge amount of money to either of these guys either.
I think this is one of those things you just got to wait for things to play out. I believe that you have to give them a fair shot. I believe in my heart of hearts mm-hmm. that the Seattle Seahawks, what they have here, I believe that they believe in those two guys.
Do you believe that either of those two guys are a top 32 quarterback in the NFL?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because the NFL is different, Salk. Every year is different. Every year is, quote unquote, a year where you have to rebuild. If I would have told you, or anybody would have told you, that the Cincinnati Bengals would be in the Super Bowl, nobody would have believed that.
I still don't believe it. And I watched it happen.
But so, and
I don't think Justin believes it either. He was there.
I believe it.
And that's what happens in the NFL. So to sit there and say that Drew Lock is not a top 32 quarterback, you can't say that because the season hasn't started. No games are won in the first quarter or the second. Oh, I don't want to get in that corniness. But games aren't won and played on paper.
Right.
Right? Like, nobody is going to win on paper. We have no idea what's going to happen this season. And everybody has this idea like, oh, the Seahawks are going to do this. You don't know. And my thing is this. The first step that needs to happen is what's happened is Seattle believes in what they have, and that's the key.
You ready for the 4th of July?
Don't
you lighting off fireworks at your house?
No.
Hell no.
Don't. Do it.
Dumbest
Leave
thing in the world.
The fireworks to the professionals.
Now, let's back up. You like a good professional fireworks show?
Love it.
So do I. There's something about it, the fact that it's sort of simple, it's not laser technology, it's like good old
electrifying.
Fashioned.
Electrifying.
Tonight.
Hey, where are you going?
Tonight is the Mariners July 3rd. They do their July 4th patriotic fireworks
show.
Shout
out to the Mariners.
That's tonight, mm-hmm. and I generally love to go with my kids. We're not going to get a chance to do that this year. My wife and I are going down to San Diego today for a nice long weekend down there, where I'm told they do a pretty good fireworks show there, too. But it is a good take. If you're trying to figure out where to do fireworks, tickets available tonight. Go down and do the patriotic fireworks of the Mariners game tonight.
You know what my favorite thing is about the Mariners?
Julio?
I gotta shot this guy out. I don't know. I've just always loved this dude. Kevin Martinez. I just want to take this chance to say that. I know that's random. I don't like, where did that come from? I love Kevin Martinez, man. I love him on Twitter. I love everything he stands for.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. It's just that one person, whether you go to Costco or where you go to this business.
Executive VP of marketing, et cetera, communications.
There's this one person.
He's got like 12 titles.
You know the favorite bar that you go to? Maybe you don't like the owner, but you love maybe the server or bartender. You love the bartender. That's me with Kevin Martinez. He's not the owner of the team, but I like him.
You know he's from New Jersey?
Is he really?
And you still like him? Does that affect your opinion of him at all?
You're from Boston. And
and do you like me?
No.
All right. Well, have the people been granted what they want? Are you ready to go do your own show now?
I didn't even prepare for that. Yeah.
Well, don't go listen to Gene Ursula today. Gene won't have any idea what he's talking about.
No. I came on here and didn't know what I was talking about either.
Have a good 4th of July, man.
I appreciate you. Hey, Justin,
and congratulations on getting married.
Love you guys. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, thank you. Go away. There you go. The great G. Scott. We'll be right back. Oh, are we doing open phones? We can open up the lines. I don't even know what people are going to call about. But 206-421-3776. You got a thought on UW, Wazoo, Pac-12, Julio Rodriguez, Jared Kelnick, Geno Smith, Drew Lock, Baker Mayfield. You name it. But I got to hear from you. 206-421-3776. I'll be honest. I didn't do that much prep today either. I'm going to San Diego later, and I'm counting on you guys to fill up the next 15 minutes. So 206-421-3776. It's next. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710.